All right, here's a little tougher question. Can somebody quote a verse that tells me that Jesus is coming back? All right, I'll start the verse and see if you can finish it. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. And I go now to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will... What's the rest of it? Well, wait a minute. Let me use it. Go ahead. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. Isn't that wonderful? Does God keep His promises? Did the Lord Jesus keep His promises? Can God lie? Well, I know people lie. I might have told a lie too once. That's right. He's the Spirit. But what about the Lord Jesus? Can He lie? No, absolutely not. So this promise is good, isn't it? He's going to come back because He's promised to come back to take all of His own, all the redeemed. He's going to take back in a moment. When's that going to happen? When's He coming back? Today? Yes. What about tomorrow? We don't know. So at any moment, right? Before I'm even done, He could come back and take us all to the heaven, right? Well, I pray that every one of you are ready to go. You know, in Matthew 25, chapter 25 in Matthew, it talks about five were wise and five were foolish. Remember that? Well, why was the foolish ones foolish and the wise were wise? Because the wise had oil in their lamps. In other words, they were real. They were all real. And the foolish ones, they were pretenders. Fake news. They weren't real. You see? And then the bridegroom came, like He's promised here. And they that were ready, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later. They that were ready, the Lord took them home. And then the door was shut. Well, I hope we're all ready. I really do. I hope none of you boys and girls or older ones will be left behind. Because the Lord is coming. And He's coming very soon. And at any moment, that's why it says, they that were ready. It's important to be ready. So what else do we have here? Well, it says, all His jewels, His precious jewels, He says that His bright crown adorned. Well, I have, let's open this box up and see what's in here. So I have some crowns, and they've got some jewels on them. Isn't that pretty crown? Now, if anybody recognizes what these hats look like, well, you'll know what it is. Here's some crowns. And they got some jewels here. And what else I got? Oh, I got this in here. Put that there. Put this down here. Okay. So, here's my crown with the jewels in it. You notice they're all different sizes, different shapes, different colors. So, it says here that, like the stars of the morning, His bright crown adoring, they shall shine in their own beauty. No, it says they shall shine in His beauty. Isn't it wonderful that when the Lord Jesus comes back, we'll be the jewels that will be in His crown. And if we dim the lights, you see they kind of sparkle, don't they, a little bit? But if we turn the lights down, they wouldn't be too bright, would they? But if I hold the light on them, and I shine the light all through them. See that? They sparkle and they shine. Well, that's the Lord's glory. It says they shall shine in His beauty. So the Lord is going to use us, His jewels, in His crown to shine for His beauty, for His glory, for all the world to see. Isn't that something? We who were once sinners are now going to be part of His crown his jewels, and he's going to shine his beauty, his glory, and we're going to shine for all the world to see. They're going to say, oh, look at that. That's the Lord's beauty. It won't be ours, but it'd be his. So isn't that wonderful? The Lord is going to include us in that. And it says here, bright gems for his crown. So that is really beautiful. So, what Jewish king in the Old Testament? We read Brother Brockmeyer talked about kings, so I'm going to talk a little bit about kings and queens. I don't know if he mentioned any queens. Maybe he did. Anyway, what Old Testament king, real Jewish Old Testament king, used to wear a crown? Did you remember? A real famous Jewish king that wore a crown. Anybody know? He's going to be a king of kings. That's true. But what Old Testament? Do we know any kings in the Old Testament? King Solomon. Who was his dad? King David. Very famous. Yes. All right. Here's even a harder question. What Gentile king? What big Gentile king? His name is real long. It's hard to pronounce and even harder to spell. He made a golden image. And he said, everybody's got to bow down to this image of mine. And three Jewish young teenagers, they said, nope, I ain't going to bow down. And they threw him in the furnace. What king was that? Can you spell that? I can't either. Gotcha. Yes, King Nebuchadnezzar. All right, what about a queen? We have a queen? What queen? All right. Didn't think of that one. Okay, what other queen? Queen Esther. Absolutely. You're pretty smart. All right. Do we have any kings and queens today? You don't know of any kings and queens today? Does anybody wear a crown today? You. Where do we find a king and queen today? I can't hear you. Today, living on earth, who's ruling as a king and a queen today? Queen of England. You know her name is? Elizabeth. Yeah, she's been queen for a long time. So, we have kings and queens today. So if you saw a man or a woman and you saw them put on a royal robe. So you saw a man or a woman. He put on a royal robe. And he sat down on his throne. And he put on his crown. Oh, I forgot my scepter. Yep, got to have a scepter. Okay. All right. I get my scepter. All right. I'm sitting here and I'm the king. I got the crown. I'm sitting on my throne. I got the royal robe. What does that tell you? What does that speak of? If you saw a man or a woman sitting on the crown, what would that tell you? Yeah, but what does the king and queen speak of? What does the crown speak of? Important. That's a real good one. Let me take the crown off. I know I've embarrassed my wife enough. That's okay. It's not the first time, so I'll take my royal robe off. So, we've got important, we got royalty. What else would that speak of?
Authority.
Authority. Very good. What else? Okay. Anybody else? Got that. Okay. What else?
Power.
Power. That's a good one. What else? What else would you give? What would you give a king or a queen if you saw them? You'd give them honor, wouldn't you? You'd give them respect, wouldn't you? Because he's a king and queen. He has the authority. He's important. All of those things. Well, let's read a verse. Oh, and by the way, I should have mentioned this, but I forgot about it. But that song we sang, when he cometh to make up his jewels, that's in Malachi 3:17. And I'll read that. I should have read it earlier. I'm sorry. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. So that's where that comes from. Now let's turn to, we're going to change things around a little bit right now. I want to read a verse out of Matthew's Gospel. We read it every Lord's Day, or at least we think about it. Matthew 27, verse 29, and when they had platted, that means when they make up, they made up a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand. They're talking about Jesus now, at his trial. And they bowed the knee before him and they mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him. And they took the reed or a rod and they hit him over the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took off the robe off of him and they led him away to crucify him. Well, I have something here to show you. Now I'm going to walk around with this, but please, kids, don't reach out and try and touch it. Alright? Don't try and touch it and see if the needles are sharp, because I've been stabbed many times with this trying to make it. It wasn't easy. But this is my crown of thorns. Yeah, and they're sharp. It's the crown of thorns. See that? How'd you like to wear that for about 6 hours? Huh? Kind of scary, isn't it? And those are sharp needles. And I did something kind of foolish when I made it. And that's another story there altogether. I had gloves on, but I still got stabbed several times with my thick gloves on. Then I did something foolish. I said, well, I've got to see how this feels. So with my lesser hair, Brother Caleb, I put it on my head as gently as I could. Whoa! That hurt. But they didn't lay it gently on the Lord Jesus, did they? This was His crown. This is how they honored the Lord Jesus. The Son of God. The Creator of you and me and all the universe. It said everything was created by Him and for His good pleasure they were created. What good pleasure were we reading about that they did to the Son of God, to Jesus? He laid it on His head. And they didn't lay it on gently. They slammed it on His head and they hit Him over the head with a rod. This is how they treated God's beloved Son. Why? Why would God allow His Son to be treated that way? Who can quote John 3:16? Can you? Wait a minute.
For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Very good. Very good. Now, if you really want to make that verse personal, put your name in the world and whosoever. Try that one. For God so loved the world, and God so loved Virgil that He gave His only begotten Son. That if Virgil believes in Him, should not perish. It gets real personal. And that's what salvation is. It's personal. It's one-on-one with God. God so loved the world, you and me. It said that He did not spare His Son, but He delivered Him up for us all. He gave up His Son, the Lord Jesus. What did God think when His creation, man, was doing this to His beloved Son? What could God... But that was more than that. They nailed Him to the cross after they beat Him and beat Him and beat Him. and they nailed him to the cross. And then the darkness fell over. You couldn't move. You couldn't see anything. I better put this down before I stab myself. Anyway, in those 3 hours of darkness, God took my sins and He laid them on Jesus. And there He punished Jesus instead of me. So I don't have to be punished. And the soldier, after Jesus died, he took the spear and stabbed his side and blood came out. Blood and water. And that precious blood God has taken and applied them to my sins. And my sins are all washed away. And He can do that for every one of us in this room. God has given us now, in this day of grace, the opportunity to come to the Lord Jesus and to take that precious blood and apply it to your sins. You know, you might say, well, you know, we all have different values. We estimate something is worth this or something's worth that. Let's say, I think this is worth $1,000. You say, well, I wouldn't give you a dollar. Okay, we all have different opinions on how much something's worth, right? We might think something's worth less or more. But you know, when God sees the blood of Jesus Christ, it's far beyond anything we can estimate it, because it's according to God's value. And He values it above everything. Because that precious blood that Jesus spilt will never lose its value. That's how precious it was to a loving God. What about Jesus? Why did the Lord Jesus let men take Him and beat Him and spit on? Have you ever been spit on? Have you ever been mocked? What's it mean to be mocked? She got all the answers. Anybody else got answers? Okay. Yeah, to be made fun. Anybody been made fun of? It ain't fun, is it? It's not nice, is it? People can be real cruel. Well, these men were real cruel. But they mocked Him. And they pulled out His hair off His beard. And then they nailed. Why did Jesus allow that? Why did Jesus allow men to do that? You know, in the beginning of His ministry, the heavens were opened up. I think we read that verse yesterday. The heavens were opened up and a voice came down from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And yet God allowed these men to nail His Son to the cross, to pay for you and my sins. And then Jesus allowed them to do that. Do those nails hold Him to the cross? No, it was love. It was love for you and me. It says, "The Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." Can you say that, boys and girls? Can you say, "The Lord is my shepherd"? Can you get real personal? "For God so loved me"? Because that's what it is. It's a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus, believing that He went to the cross to put your sins away. And now God's giving you the opportunity to come to the Lord Jesus and have your sins washed away. Isn't that marvelous? And so, the Lord Jesus, He suffered all that. And you know, this wasn't something that was planned at a moment. The brother mentioned a couple of days ago in our prayer and reading meeting that in past eternity, before the world was here, before the universe, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit got together and they said, "Let us make man in our own image." Isn't that something? So they made man. But there was another "let us." That's in Isaiah 6. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit got together before the world was. And they said, "Who shall we send? And who's going to go for us?" What were they talking about? Who are we going to send and who's going to go before us? God knew, the triune God knew, that man was going to rebel. Man was going to sin. Adam, he turned to Satan. And he had a choice. He chose Satan. You have a choice. Our brother Caleb said, oh, decide for Christ today. Maybe there are some here who just are pretending. Fake news. Maybe you're just kind of pretending. You never really got caught into the presence of God like I did. And I realized I was lost. I was lost because I'm a sinner. And because I'm a sinner, I'm going to be separated from God for all eternity. God can't have sin in His presence. He's a holy, righteous God. But He's a loving, forgiving God. And He wants you to be saved according to what He has already accomplished. He sent His Son into this world to save sinners. He came into this world as a babe. Many are going to celebrate, I guess, at this time of the year, the little babe in the manger with all the animals around. Oh, that's nice. But He grew up a man. And the one purpose later on, just before He was going to be crucified, just before this trial came, He said, now is My soul troubled. And what should I say? Father, save Me from this hour. Oh, but He said, for this hour, for this cause I came unto this hour. That's why He came. He came to die. He said, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angel. You know, we're lower than the angel. We're not powerful and great. For the suffering of death He was. That He might taste death, by the grace of God, He might taste death for everything. That was the only way to save you and I from a lost eternity, is for Jesus to die on the cross. And God punished Him in our place. But in past eternity, who shall we send? Who will go before us? You know, Jesus said without hesitation, send Me! Send Me! I'll go! Did He know what was going to be in front of Him? Did He know what was lied before Him? What He was going to go through? How He was going to be treated and spit upon and wear a crown of thorns and nailed through the cross? But in those 3 hours of darkness, He would be made sin for us who knew no sin. God made Him sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Jesus. He knew all that. He said, now is My soul troubled. And He went to this Garden of Gethsemane. I was there twice. I was right there twice. And He prayed, oh, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from Me. He was in such agony. But He said, nevertheless, not My will, but Yours be done. It was the Father's will to make Him the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. He was the Lamb of God, God's perfect sacrifice. Not only did He take our sins away, but He completely satisfied God, a holy God, a three times holy God. He satisfied God and glorified God as a man on the cross. And God satisfied. How do I know God satisfied? Because He raised Him from the dead. He's seated at the right hand of God. And that blood will ever speak in God's ear as making full atonement. Because when He sees us as believers, as children of God, He sees the finished work of Christ on the cross and says, I'm satisfied. Your sins and your iniquities while I remember no more. So we have a time. You have time. And I pray, kids, that you won't say no to God's salvation. I pray that you won't say no to the Lord Jesus and what He's accomplished on the cross. I pray that you just will make the right choice. We have choices to make. God wants you to make the right choices. That's why He sends His message, the Word of God. He tells us that we can be saved. We can be happy to know our sins are forgiven. There's no other way to be saved. Jesus went to the cross to put away our sins. And that precious blood has power to wash all our sins away. It says that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can cleanse us from all sin. There's no sin that remains if we're the children of God. And isn't it wonderful that when we receive the Lord Jesus as our Savior, He writes our name in that book of life? Well, I'm just waiting to see that book of life. I hope every boy and girl here has their name written in that book of life. What happens if you're not? You know, there's the cast out and the cast in. He that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out. Isn't that something? What about the cast in? We'll read that at the end of Revelation. It says, whosoever was not found and written in the book of life was cast in where? Yeah. Who wants to go to the lake of fire? Not me. We don't have to. We don't have to because it wasn't meant for us. God's not willing that any should perish, but come to repentance. We need to repent. We need to take God's side against ourselves. We need to see us from God's point of view. He said all of sin. We're sinners. Because of our sins, we're lost. And because we're lost, we need to be saved. We don't have to be lost. We don't have to have our sins on us anymore. I know my sins are gone. I know I belong to the Lord. I know when He comes back, I'm going to be one of these little... Well, there's nothing smaller. Well, I'm going to be a little crown. But I'm going to be in His... that His beauty will shine forth. Are you going to be in His crown? You know, there's... my time is up. But your time isn't up yet. Or do you still want to see Jesus wearing the crown? You know, there's so many people in this world today that are still spitting in His face. They don't care about Jesus. They don't care about God's love. They don't care what Jesus did on the cross. I don't want anything to do with Him. Brother told me the other day, he talked to this Jewish woman. I don't want to hear that name. I hate that name. Don't ever mention that name to me again. Isn't that sad? God has provided such a way of salvation to bring us home to Himself. Don't you want to be a part of the family of God? I'm thankful that I am. Don't you want to know that your name is written in the book of life? Well, God has given us the opportunity. Don't say no to God. Don't say no to what He's provided for us. God loves you and Jesus loves you. And God's provided a way of escape. Let's just look to the Lord.